In Germany, the independent commission advising the government on vaccination policy has recommended people over the age of 65 not be given the AstraZeneca vaccine. The concern seems to be over its effectiveness. And the move comes a day ahead of a decision expected by the European Medicines Agency about the use of the vaccine within the EU. Sir Kent Woods was the chairman of the EMA from 2011 to 2015 and the former chief executive of the UK medicines regulator, the MHRA. And he's now Emeritus Professor of Therapeutics at the University of Leicester. Welcome back to RN Breakfast, Sir Kent.
Thank you.
Is it clear why this German advisory panel is recommending that the vaccine, Astra vaccine, not be used for people aged over 65?
I haven't seen their recommendations in print, but on the assumption that that is, in fact, what they're recommending to the German federal states, it is a bit surprising. I'm surprised, firstly, that it should have come out the day before or 2 days before the EMA is due to come to its regulatory decision on AstraZeneca, which, of course, is not yet authorised for sale in the or for supply in the European Union. The second thing that surprises me is that although there is a limited experience with this vaccine over the age of 65 with regard to efficacy against infection, there is pretty good evidence that it generates a strong antibody response. It just so happens that the phase 3 trial did not contain sufficient people in this age group for a sufficiently long length of time to give a clear statistical answer in relation to protection or not. But I put the question the other way around. I don't see any evidence that there is grounds to think that the vaccine will be less effective in the over 65s. And given that the over 65s are the part of the population that one is most keen to protect as quickly as possible, if this recommendation is followed in Germany, it's going to make their current vaccine shortage and slow vaccine rollout even worse than it is at the moment.
Isn't Astra just a victim of the fact that it's been a very messy trial, really a bit of a dog's breakfast? They started off with a UK trial under 55s. They thought they were getting a concentrated vaccine. It wasn't, and they end up giving a half dose, got a good result from that, 90%, but not enough to be sure for a regulator. Then they came to it late in terms of, as you're suggesting, recruiting older people when they knew that they couldn't get it approved in the Food and Drug Administration if they didn't have a good sample of older people with other illnesses. And then they added, they had a group that were getting a single dose, and then belatedly they gave them a second dose, maybe up to 3 months, 2 or 3 months later. And now there's rumours that they're getting 90% efficacy from a 3 month gap. I mean, it's all a bit messy, isn't it?
Well, bear in mind two things. Firstly, that the study was being done under great time pressure because of the fact that we are facing a public health emergency. The second thing is that, of course, some areas of the trial, as you say, that the study was done in the UK and Brazil and elsewhere, in some areas the incidence of new infections was actually quite low. Our own experience in the UK was that the infection rate dropped quite markedly in the summer months. So to that extent, there were fewer endpoints seen in the trial. But on the other hand, the evidence that we do have from the trial is, I think, quite persuasive. The evidence of a good antibody response is particularly helpful in relation to those patients who got their second dose after a rather longer interval than 4 weeks. And there are data suggesting from within this study that actually the longer the gap between the first and second dose, between 4 weeks and 12 weeks, the more vigorous the antibody response became. So it was a very useful trial in that respect. And certainly there was sufficient evidence of efficacy to justify the authorization of the vaccine by the MHRA.
It does create an issue for the Australian regulator as to whether or not the data are strong enough. And there are subsequent data since they published the Lancet paper in the early December. The British regulator has gone with two standard doses, which according to the published data would only give you 62% efficacy, which if it was the only vaccine in the world, then that's fine. But you're competing against vaccines that do better than that. Do you think that with the data that are now coming on stream that are available to the Australian regulator, they could approve a dosage regimen that gives 90% efficacy to the Astra vaccine?
Yeah, it's difficult because the evidence base is rapidly evolving, and I don't know what further data are landing on the TGA's desk. But I think that I know that more work is in hand to fill in these gaps of knowledge, firstly in relation to the age question, and secondly in relation to the time interval question. As it happens, I got my first dose of vaccine this morning. Had it been either the Pfizer or the AstraZeneca, I would have been equally happy to put my arm out for it. I'm 72 years old. I think these are both very useful vaccines, and I think they will contribute greatly to controlling this infection.
If Germany goes it alone, what happens to the European approval here? Can it go alone under the European regulation system?
Well, it's interesting because the recommendation which has come out apparently from STIKO, the Standing Committee on Vaccination of the Robert Koch Institute, is a public health recommendation which goes out to the German federal states and is not rigorously binding on them. So the states can make their own decisions as to what they do in terms of public policy. Certainly this decision in Germany or this advice in Germany will not bind the rest of Europe. And of course, the way things are done in the European Union, the approval or non-approval of a medicine and the setting of conditions for its use rest with the CHMP, the Scientific Committee of the European Medicines Agency. And so there's a kind of disconnect between what's going on in terms of government advice in Germany as a member state, and more specifically a member state with 16 federal states within it, and what is actually happening centrally under the direction of the European Commission at the European Medicines Agency. It's a slightly messy structure in terms of voices and authority. And I greatly regret if this produces confusion in people's minds as to the value of the vaccine. Certainly in the UK, we are pressing ahead with the doses, as you know, in all age groups.
Changing tack, the New York Times has just reported that the Novavax vaccine has reported its phase 3 study. Again, not peer-reviewed, saying that it works, but there's still questions about whether it works against what's now called the South African variant, which seems to have some vaccine escape. How worried are you about vaccine escape with the current vaccines?
I think we've got to be constantly vigilant on this one. Viruses will continue to mutate. We've already seen several significant mutations appearing around the world. The one that was first found in the south of the UK, one in South Africa, one in Brazil. These will continue to pop up, which is why the UK has been doing a very large scale sequencing exercise on as many strains of the virus as we can get hold of. And that does indicate that there are these mutations with slightly different properties. The so-called UK, the B117 variant, does appear to be more easily transmitted. But so far, although it presents slightly different symptoms, it doesn't seem to produce a significantly more severe disease. Having said that, if 50 or 60% more people catch it, then in public health terms, that's bad news. So these mutations will continue to arise. We must be constantly vigilant. I don't think anything has arisen on any scale which has a more serious capacity to produce disease in an individual. But one of the reasons I'm so keen to see these vaccines rolled out with the greatest possible speed is that the longer this infection rattles around in the population, the more likely it is that nastier mutations will arise.
Just very briefly, that's fine, and a fast rollout, but you can't do a fast rollout if there's no supply.
Well, the supply is problematic, of course, because everybody wants it all at once. And I know there's been this rather public row between the European Commission and AstraZeneca, and indeed also another supply problem with the Pfizer vaccine in Belgium. The hard reality is that this is a complex and challenging manufacturing problem. And it's not like running out, you know, thousands of widgets. This is a rather delicate biological molecule which has to be scaled up to millions and millions of doses in a very short space of time. So although I can understand the nervousness and the irritability which is arising around the place, there is undoubtedly a genuine problem in maintaining manufacture uninterruptedly at this sort of very high level. We must accept that fact and not feel that this is somehow, you know, a conspiracy.
Thank you very much for joining us yet again.
Okay, you're welcome.
So Kent Woods, who is Emeritus Professor of Therapeutics at the University of Leicester and also was in charge of the British regulator and also chaired the European regulator.